If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang it in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, this is John Zadak, TV voice of the Cincinnati Reds, and you're up for Late Night Reds Talk.
Hello, everybody. My name is Tim Daniel, and welcome to another fantastic edition of Late Night Reds Talk, the live show and podcast that loves the Cincinnati Reds, part of the Believe Network, presented as always by Bet Online. This show is live streamed on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, and the podcast version is always up the next morning. I am joined tonight by Nick Kirby, Carlos Guevara, and our special guest, Mr. Matt McAdow. If you're watching tonight on YouTube, please take 2 seconds to hit the like button, subscribe to our channel. It really helps us continue to grow the show. Before we do get started, let's have Nick tell you about our partner, BetOnline, who has the Cincinnati Bengals as 6.5-point favorites against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday.
All right, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports contest events with first-of-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that is BLEAV50, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is where the game starts.
Awesome. Thank you, Nick. Carefully appreciate that. So let's go ahead and bring our guest in. This is, like I said, Matt McAdow. Matt is a columnist across 20-plus papers over across Ohio and Kentucky that covers the Reds and Bengals. So, Matt, first, welcome to the show, man. Thanks for taking some time to hang out with us.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. I'm glad to be on.
So 20-plus papers covering the Reds and Bengals. What exactly all do you do to kind of the reach is such that, like, lengthy – environment to cover across the Tri-State area?
Yeah, so it kind of took me by surprise. I actually work in HR for my full-time job, but on the side as a hobby, I started writing for a local paper here, and a few other papers started to pick me up, and just kind of started to spread. So I just began to go in one newspaper and then went to another, and now I'm in about 20 roughly, and it's just a hobby of mine where I just give my opinion each week, and I really enjoy it.
Yeah, nice. It's kind of, you know, it's what we do. We got full-timers as well. Yeah. And got this fun pod going. So, yeah, totally get that. So, obviously, this is a lot of not fun for the Reds part. Obviously, the Bengals thing comes up, and there's a lot of hype going into that for you. But looking at the Reds now, obviously, this season, we know what it is. There's 4 weeks left to play. But then all the conversation's really about what they're building in the pipeline. Where are you kind of at with your thoughts on where the Reds are overall as a franchise at the moment?
I really like where we're at. Where we're at right now, I think we still need to remain patient, though. We have a lot of people in the system, a lot of young talent, but we still need to remain patient. I still think we're a couple years off from being contenders, but I really like where we're at right now. I think we have, five in the top 100 prospects, so I really like where we're going right now, but again, myself, I need to remain really patient.
Yeah, I know that's a little hard when you see the list, you know, like you said, that top five, the top 100 and things like that, kind of seeing the continuous Twitter updates. Reds kind of catching on with the Reds on the Rise Twitter account makes it really hard to kind of stay patient, not get overexcited about what's coming up.
Right.
Yeah. So let's talk real quick, guys. Nick, Carlos, bring you guys back into this conversation. Once again, Aristides Aquino, just when we thought he was gone, he comes right back up with his third career multi-home run game, all three against the Chicago Cubs. He is the Cubs killer, as we know. Nick, I know you're just super excited to talk about it. But three homers in his last nine at-bats. The Reds even the series with the Cubs now. Jake Fraley with another homer. TJ Friedl with a triple there in the eighth inning. And Mike Minor pitching fairly decent tonight before the bullpen kind of takes over from there. So, you know, I guess at this point, like we said, we know where we're at. But a lot of fun baseball by Aquino.
Take it away, Nick.
Oh, what a fun night. What a fun night of Cincinnati Reds baseball. Yeah. Good to see Aquino. You know, it's obviously been a tough year, but you know, he has these games, and you couple that with the defense and, you know, just the speed and, you know, the overall talent that he has. And it's why I can't give up on him. I'm sure it's why the Reds can't give up on him. And, you know, who knows what the future holds for him, but yeah, I'll keep rooting for Mr. Aquino. Keep it up, buddy.
He's that toxic chick that you just can't stay away from. He just keeps doing something right every now and then. And all right, come back, buddy. We love you.
No, baby. No, I can change. I can change. Oh, man. I can't say I haven't had athletes like that that I've been like not able to give up on. So I totally understand that.
He's like one guy that I keep like rooting for, no matter how bad, like, a previous 2-3 games he's had, I'm like, I can't wait for his next at bat because I know he can hit it to the moon with his next AB, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great way to put it. You know, the power's there. Obviously, the defensive highlights have been fun. Nick getting his gift stolen that he makes of Aquino throughout the year is always a joy. We do have this quick question here from Joey Raver. Do you guys think Aquino has a spot on the team in the future with all the young all the young talent coming up? It's hard to say, but I just kind of lean towards no. But would I be shocked if like he caught on as like a DH or something with this team? Against left-handed bat as a platoon DH guy, which is the weirdest conversation ever to have about a National League team. I don't think so. I think, you know, there's probably a role for him.
I think he's just in the same boat as everybody else, pretty much, other than like your Indias and Stevensons that, you know, have it locked down. He has just as good a chance as anyone else. I mean, he can get hot this last, you know, several weeks and have a good spring, and then he makes the team again. It's really wide open across the board with this group.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's, you know, gotta become like a left-handed masher. Like, right now he's not like, he doesn't have like these drastic splits. Aquino would be better off if 100% of his value came against left-handed pitching, because you have Jake Fraley and TJ Friedl are two guys we, you know, want to talk about a little bit more as the show goes on tonight, that don't really hit left-handed pitching. So Aquino's a perfect partner with that, but he is running out of time. I mean, obviously at this point Aquino's gonna, you know, make it to the end of the year on the Reds roster, so he's going to get another offseason. But I think for him, he's got to come to camp and I think really show the Reds he deserves a spot, which I think is fair, you know, based on where he's at. But, I mean, it's going to – at some point next year, it's going to be the make it or break it. And he actually had the make it or break it this year but didn't get claimed. You know, I think part of it was when he got DFA was when every team had to cut two players from their roster spots, because they had the 28 for the first month of the season. Everyone had cut down to 26. So I don't know if anyone would have picked him up, but every team was kind of in a roster crunch at that point. So who knows? But yeah, I mean, it's you know, he's going to have another off season. I don't think would it shock any of you guys if he came to camp and something kind of clicked. Nope. And like, I mean, that wouldn't shock me. Also, wouldn't shock me if he comes to camp. And
I was gonna say, there's nothing about him that shocks me at this point.
Yeah, you didn't even finish your sentence, and I was like, nope, nothing's gonna shock me. Nope. Yeah. Like not even if he comes to camp next year pitching, that won't shock me either.
He's one of the most talented, frustrating players. That's what comparing to a Bengals player, he reminds me of John Ross. It's like you'll see one game here, one game there, where it's just he's on fire, and then you still want to root for him, like Carlos said earlier. But you know, with his defense, I mean, he's spot on. He's got an arm, and then you know what he can do at the plate. But yeah, he just goes so cold at times.
John Ross is a name I was really, really working hard to get pushed out of my head, Matt. So, yeah, really appreciate you bringing this that pain back in my life.
Yeah, would we take him before Patrick Mahomes? Is that right?
Yeah, that worked out a few years later. Yeah. Let me ask you guys this, because this is kind of we'll wrap up the game here before we move on and talk about everything else. Mike Minor tonight. So 5 2/3, one earned run, 3 strikeouts, 10 hits. Have you ever seen a weird night like that where it's just like the guy had a really decent game but still gave up 10 hits and his defense just made a ton of plays behind him?
That was, Corey Kluber. That was his line in Double-A whenever I played with him all year, every game. I'm like, how's this guy getting crushed? Like, he was throwing high 90s, mid-90s, a curveball from hell, and every line was like that. It was like 4 2/3, 5 1/3, 10 hits, 5 runs, and you're like, how did that happen? But it's the kind of line that it was.
And then he ends up winning a Cy Young, you know?
Yeah. He figured something out. I don't know how I went off on him, but anyway, Mike Minor tonight, yeah. Going up against the Triple A Cubs. Good job.
He did have a cool play when he had that like crab behind his back. That was pretty neat.
Yeah, saw SportsCenter shared that. Were you guys surprised that he got taken out with what was it, 80 some pitches? Were you guys surprised?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, me too.
I thought he'd go at least one more.
That's what I thought.
Gotta use him up.
Yeah, I think I got the wrong line on that score. That's from last week. Mike Minor pitched last Wednesday also, so that's last week's line. So sorry about that. My apologies.
That one's not terrible either. Less hits. So
I didn't even notice, and I stared at that the entire time I was talking.
It's a very similar line. I mean,
yeah, that's true. But yeah, I just thought we'd kind of get to that real quick because I thought that was kind of funny. Let's talk about some Spencer Steer action. How about it, gentlemen? Big league debut on Friday. First hit is a homer. Pretty cool. Went 2 for 2, had a double as well. Had 2 walks and scored the game-winning run on India's walk-off hit. Man, just a lot of fun. Kind of what we read about when the trade happened originally was just how much, you know, the guy put the ball in play and his contact rates and everything you're starting to see. Also, his patience at the plate has been really impressive. You know, I know we're talking about we got to do the whole, like Matt said earlier, kind of stay patient and stuff. We're talking about, you know, what, 18, 19 at-bats at this point. But what have you guys thought? Anyone wants to jump in? I've been really impressed with kind of his approach at the plate, and I think he has a lot, you know, been a lot of fun. It was 16 at-bats going into tonight, so I've been pretty excited with what I've seen so far from young Spencer Steer.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 4 walks in his first, I think he's at, what, this is his 5th game, 4th game? So, yeah, I mean, he's had really good plate discipline. That's what stands out. I definitely think Steer is a guy that can hit left-handed pitching really well. The question with him for me is how well can he hit right-handed pitching? Because he has really drastic splits really all throughout his minor leagues, not just this year. But I think this is a guy that you can plug him in right now and you can feel pretty confident about his ability to be that, you know, left-handed masher. But, you know, can he, you know, provide enough value? And by providing enough value, I mean, if he hit league average against right-handed pitching, mashes left-handed pitching and plays okay defense, that's a good player. Don't get me wrong. You know, a lot of guys make their living on that type of line. But that's the only thing I would, you know, maybe concerns me a little bit with him. But yeah, I'm excited to have him up and, you know, excited to see him over these last, you know, like 4 weeks, what he can do.
Yeah, it's been from what I've seen, you know, in these few at bats, it's been pretty positive. He looks really comfortable up there. He looks like he belongs. I mean, he even looks older for his age. Sorry, Spencer, but yeah, I mean, I like what I've seen. It was, again, against the Cubs here this series. We'll see, you know, maybe a little bit different competition, how he fares against those guys. I don't know. We'll see, I guess.
He definitely adds some excitement for the last month of baseball with the Reds. It'll be something fun to watch and keep an eye on. So,
and that's all we're looking for at this point of the year, right, gentlemen?
Yeah, so someone else to keep an eye on and see how they do. Something, you know, to keep our interest in the games, right?
Yeah.
Keep running these guys out there.
If you look at Nick's graphic that is here in the top right, home run as first MLB hit, most recent Reds. 3 years in a row we've had that. So does that mean like next year is going to be like Noelvi Marte? Should we just keep this going?
I don't think Noelvi Marte will be on the roster next year.
Shh.
Maybe Matt McClain?
I'll take it.
Encarnacion Strand?
That's definitely happening.
One thing I'm kind of interested in Steer is he's right now at a career high 16 home runs throughout multiple levels this year. No, I might have actually got that wrong. He's at 24 home runs through multiple levels this year, which he hasn't really showed that kind of power before this year. So, you know, is he, you know, developing more power? Because obviously, you know, we talk about all the time at Great American Ballpark how well that plays. That could really, I think, take him to the next level if you combine that plate discipline. You know, with kind of this added power that he's adding, is it a 1 year thing? Is it our friend, old friend Josh Van Meter, or is it something for real? But one other point is I love his position flexibility. All four starts at four different positions. That is awesome to see. It's great that he seems to be embracing that. Is that, you know, the Reds have a lot of different players. All kind of jumbled up, and the fact that he might be willing to go out to left field or right field to get guys that are going to be better defenders than him really just helps the whole roster construction going forward.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that. I think that kind of makes things a lot better. I'm excited. I really liked what I've seen. Like you said, the walks are definitely impressive. So it's kind of keep an eye on him, especially like Matt said, just something to keep us watching for these last couple weeks of the season. I did kind of find it fascinating that I saw a tweet on for his call up that they said his MLB comparison mostly was Jonathan India within the organization. So talk about a guy who's really had a big turnaround. Nick, you got a clip here of good old Jonathan India and kind of talking about his first career walk-off hit on Friday, and we're kind of seeing how he's kind of turned his season around.
All the stuff you've been through this year, injury-wise, just how good does it feel right now to be kind of on a nice little run personally?
Yeah, it feels amazing. You know, this is the player I am. I know I'm able to do these things in this game. I know I'm good enough to play this level. I just had unfortunate events this year happen to me, injuries. It was tough, you know, for the first 3-4 months, and I was out for a while, so just trying to get back in the swing of things and, you know, and just trust who I was again, rather than trying to be something else, and, you know, I'm being that player again.
You said trying to be something else. You're trying to be someone else?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I'm just trying to make up for a lot of guys that we lost. You know, we lost a lot of big time bats in our lineup, and I was, you know, started thinking the spotlight was on me to do the damage and do more of it. Like, you know, Miss Castellano, Winker, Suarez, all these guys, you know, that would do damage in the lineup. They weren't there. So I was like, you know, I got to pick up the slack a little, start getting more power, and got me in trouble. And I'm just getting back to my game, you know, hit the ball hard wherever it's pitched, and if it goes out, it goes out. If it goes in, you get out the double.
So, Carlos, we'll bring you into the conversation here. Obviously, kind of talks a little, you hear the conversation where he talks about just kind of getting back to where you did last year and kind of taking some pressure off himself. I'm sure you've probably been around those guys and kind of seen that before in your time playing professional ball. But, you know, what does that kind of necessarily mean when you hear him just kind of take a step back and kind of see what he can do kind of being the guy we remember from last year.
It's it can catch up with you pretty quick, and I think that's what happened with Jonathan. You know, how he made the big league roster last year was, you know, all of a sudden, and then he struggles early, and then he puts on, you know, rookie of the year, becomes very popular within the city, has his off season that he had, you know, he's all over the place, you know, Bengals games, like everything, it was a lot. And then you go into spring training with, you know, a depleted roster, and you feel you kind of fall into this trap of that you've got to do more than what you need to do and do more than what got you where you are. You know, you feel some sort of responsibility for it. And he just kind of tried to grow up too fast. You know, the sophomore year, it's a really important year for him, and it's really, really cool. And, you know, we're glad that he let us in on that bit of information. Most players won't let you in on that and admit that they failed by making a mistake.
Matt, you know, obviously kind of get you back here in the swing of things. We you know, we know the talent level. We know what's kind of there. We've talked all year just kind of about what can we see more of, what's going on here. We've obviously, you know, discussed his future not playing second base for this team as a possibility because of his, you know, struggles we've seen there in the past. But where do you kind of take away from it? Because it does kind of seem like we talked about throughout the show, you know, if the Reds are going to be good in the future, it feels like Jonathan India could very well just be a huge part of that.
Yeah, I even think that for the Reds to be good in the future, Jonathan India is definitely going to have to be a big part of that. And right now, I mean, I think in the last 15 games, I saw India's batting over 350. And I think he's really starting to heat up now. I mean, like they said earlier in the beginning of the season with some injuries, and Castellanos was one of his best friends. He lost him and a lot of big bats in the lineup. But yeah, I think for the Reds to be good in the future, that he's going to have to be a big part of that. And whether that's at second base or not, he's definitely going to have to be a part of the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I think that India in the first half was, you know, the worst version of himself. And I think probably some of what India's done in the second half is a little unsustainable. But you just look at the walk rate. That's the big thing that I see that jumps up, is that, you know, that went from, you know, 3.6 to 9.6. That's a huge jump. And that's really what the Reds need from him. They don't need Jonathan India to be, you know, a guy that's hitting 30 home runs, 40 home runs. They just need him to be the guy that just gets on base. Yeah, I'm still concerned about his defense long term and, you know, where he fits in that. I don't think the way he's playing second base right now defensively is a long-term solution. I think he'd have to, you know, make some massive strides this offseason to stay at second base with the kind of options the Reds are going to have coming up through their system. But yeah, I mean, just, you know, India finishing the year strong, it's a huge boost for the Reds, and, you know, I think their chances going forward.
Yeah, this is also a guy that kind of said at the beginning of the year he felt like he could be a 2020 guy, and I certainly still feel like he can be in the future. But that maybe, I don't know if that was something that kind of maybe he tried to lean to, kind of Willie Mays hazing it and putting that pressure on himself by all means. But yeah, I think, you know, what we've seen so far has been great. I hope it kind of does keep up. Yeah, probably, like you said, Nick, is probably a little too unsustainable just because of the hot streak he's on. But we find that happy medium here. I think we're going to be okay there for sure. Let's talk about another guy who's been doing the damn thing at the plate of late, and that's our old pal TJ Friedl. Did not see this coming at all, what we've been able to see from him for a little while now. I had a triple tonight. That was pretty cool. You know, obviously has kind of shown some power, showed some big pop. You guys kind of feel like with his situation, has he kind of earned at least a platoon spot looking forward for next season?
For next season, sure. Come on, buddy.
Is that a Nick Senzel?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Him and Nick Senzel, it's just going to be probably who has the better spring. I see him just being a fourth, fifth outfielder with Friedl, or not with Friedl, with Fraley. But man, it's going to be tough next year to make this team, because there's so many guys that are pretty much the same. I don't know what they're going to do whenever, you know, free agency wise, how competitive they want to be. it's really going to be who ends up with the hot spring. I feel like.
Yeah, I feel the same way. It's whoever's got the hot bat at the time, I think, is who's going to end up earning that spot. But yeah, I think one of the crazy things I heard about Friedel, he's related to both Calipari and Sean Miller there at Xavier. Like, that's one of the craziest things I've heard, related to both coaches. I'm sure those holidays are crazy. But
he's got 10 extra base hits since he's come back up. And that's the thing that I never saw this kind of power out of TJ Friedel, which is why I had always wrote him off. Because I was like, oh, this guy's a nice little player that plays good defense that can slap the ball. But, okay, well, 10 extra base hits, 5 home runs. You know, they said that he's done, you know, something to change his swing. You know, I don't know. Maybe he's got a chance. I think Fraley is the player that's much more legit and I think sustainable. He did it last year as well. So he has a little bit, you know, longer of a track record. But hey, I mean, right now, if you're telling me right now, I mean, I'd put Friedel above every single outfielder except for Fraley right now, as long as we're not considering Spencer Steer an outfielder.
But so looking for 24, do you think either of them will be a starter on a good team?
I think Jake Fraley will. I mean, a platoon starter. I think Jake Fraley, I mean, like over the last 2 years, has really, really good numbers. I mean, like he had a 130 weighted runs created plus against right-handed pitching last year, so he's 30% better. I don't know where it's at this year, but I think it's higher this year. I think it's over 1,000 OPS against right-handed pitching. So, I mean, that's two straight years where he has hit right-handed pitching really well. So he's only 27, so he's not, you know, he's not super old. And he was a guy that came through the minor leagues as a pretty high, you know, pretty highly touted prospect. Just kind of had some injuries and fell off. So I definitely believe Friedel, you know, hey, he's a nice player to have. That's kind of where I'm at with him. You know, give me as many TJ Friedels as you can. You hope a couple of them, you know, kind of pan out. But I've been more impressed with TJ Friedel than I've been with Nick Senzel at just about any point of his career.
I can't believe Nick Senzel's out right now. Like, this guy's playing for his MLB career at this point. I mean,
I think he's safe this offseason, but next offseason, I mean,
yeah, he's safe to where he's going to have a, you know, maybe a leg up in spring, but not by much.
Has he outplayed Aquino this year? Aquino's not hit well, but Aquino's at least had the great defensive value and has had some pop.
Yeah. I mean, every home run that Aquino hits counts a lot towards, you know, what Nick Senzel's done.
And if I'm the one saying that, you know, I've been the flag bearer of the Nick Senzel fan club. If I'm the one saying that, no, he hasn't, that's got to say something. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I just kind of feel like you said, the TJ Friedels are, you know, I think Fraley and Friedel probably are the two outfielders I look forward to for next year.
Are there any legit outfield prospects? Like, okay, this guy's a left fielder, or this guy's a power right, you know, right fielder. Are there any of those? Everybody's an infielder type?
I mean, not rated as high. Like,
There's not a true outfielder. I mean, you know, they could move Ellie De La Cruz to the outfielder, and you have a legit outfielder. They could move Marte to the outfielder, a legit outfielder. They could move Matt McClain to the outfield, which I think is probably the most likely scenario, is that he's the one who gets moved to the outfield. And then you have a legit outfielder. So, but the Reds, they've been able to find corner outfielders and done a pretty good job of that. You know, like guys like Tyler Naquin. Corner outfield's the easiest position to fill. This is why I'm not counting out TJ Friedel, because he can play center field. And when you look at what the Reds have, Matt McClain, maybe he can play center field, but I don't think he's ever done that. That's where I, you know, hey, if he has this, you know, this pop that's even somewhat there, and he can, you know, hit a couple home runs here and there and play the good defense, and, you know, he's really, you know, has the good sprint speed, I don't know. I think he's got a chance.
Looks like we got a lot of Michael Ciani love in our chat right now.
I like Mike Ciani. He's an elite defender, but Last time I checked, he had a below average. He's got a 100 weighted runs created plus in Double A, so he's exactly average. 249, 348, 399. So, I mean, he could platoon with Friedel. He's right-handed. I mean, but I don't. It's just that doesn't excite me.
You guys laugh, I'll laugh now, but Yordan Alvarez decides he wants to come to Cincinnati in a few years. Joke's on you.
Didn't he sign an extension?
Yeah, he just signed an extension.
You know, extensions don't mean anything. They're going to get busted for cheating again. Don't worry about it.
It'll be voided.
Yeah.
Hey, he's a free agent in 2028.
Yeah, you know.
Let's go.
He'll still hit 30 home runs at the GABP. I'll take it.
I mean, I guess Austin Hendrick, yeah, Dylan. Jay Allen, what we're actually going to talk about him later. But I mean, again, none of those guys are, you know, close to being good big league hitters. They all have some nice skills, but I don't see any of them in 2023 being a big league outfield solution that's going to hit.
Yeah. I don't know, man. We'll see.
I don't like being the negative guy. I don't like this.
Nick, you're usually the optimistic one.
I see how I spun it around on him?
Kirby hates Ciani. Kirby hates Senzel. Kirby hates Hendrick.
I like Fraley.
Yeah. He likes left-handed hitters and left-handed hitters only because Jake Fraley is Jake Fraley is the most unstoppable hitter in MLB The Show, no matter what you do with them. So I understand, Nick.
Yeah. Love it.
Me too. All right, let's talk about some fun stuff here. Dylan Rushman saying Nualvi is probably a right fielder. We'll see. We could, you know, it's possible. Joey Votto getting some booth time with our good friend John Sadak of late, hanging out and doing some television broadcasts. I love here in the bottom left, this picture specifically, if you're tuning in on YouTube, if you're not. We've got the graphic of him, John Sadak, and Barry Larkin together, and Joey just hanging out holding the mic and the polo, being part of the team. I dig it. Also really love the Cincinnati Royals hoodie that he's wearing in this as well. But the insight's been a lot of fun. Getting to call Spencer Steer's first hit, which is a homer, and he's in the booth for that. It's going to be pretty neat. So Carlos, obviously, you know, you've had many of baseball conversations with Joey in the past. How is this kind of what it's like to talk baseball with Joey Votto, what you're seeing in broadcasts?
I mean, I've had thousands of conversations exactly like this. Like, I mean, that's what we do. That's what we did in the minor leagues. That would, you know, we'd have our game. We come back to the hotel, have our pizza, play our video games, turn out the lights. And then we just sit there and, or, you know, lay in each bed and just talk baseball for probably an hour and a half. You know, when the playoffs roll around, we'll FaceTime and talk a little bit about the game that's going on, and then we'll start talking about the Reds, and it's just nonstop of information like this. It's unbelievable. You know, I've become, I don't want to say numb to it, but it's just like, yeah, that's Joey. I mean, he loves the game. He's very educated in the game. He loves doing this. It's funny, he, in the middle of the broadcast, I think it was the second day, he was texting in between innings. It's like how hard it was because they gave him the play-by-play. He's like, this is unbelievable. It's like, I don't know how many times I have to do this to be able to get good at it, but he said he had a good time. He enjoyed it. Would, you know, like to do it again. But there's so much insight, you know, whenever he starts talking with Barry, whether you agree with Barry or you agree with Joey one way or the other, it's anytime you can get two Hall of Famers talking about one sport, no matter what the sport is, you just shut the F up and listen. Just let them talk. Even you don't want to agree with them. It's just, it's firsthand knowledge of the game that we all love, and they're the best to ever do it. And so to be able to listen to them, you know, for a couple hours, I thought it was really fun.
Yeah, I agree. Matt, what have you kind of thought about kind of hearing Joey in the booth?
That's what I've loved, listening to him. That's somebody that if I could watch a game with anyone, it'd definitely be Joey. Just to see and hear what he sees from his point of view would be something else. One of the things I liked that he said is how they have a monopoly on the summer, talking about baseball. And he talked about how you can show up in the fourth inning, you can show up and you can stat the whole game, or you can just come and show up and you can meet up with old friends. It's just a monopoly on the summer, and baseball is different than any other sport. And I could listen to him call every game.
Yeah, I feel like we've gotten a lot with like him being mic'd up during games and stuff like this. It's been really cool to kind of get this access to, kind of like hear his thoughts on everything as well. So it's been a lot of fun. I know it's been pretty cool to hear. So I know we've gotten quite a bit of questions in from our chat that we want to get to real quick. And this one first is from our YouTube user. Would love to hear Matt's thoughts on Joey Votto.
My thoughts, I guess just future Hall of Famer. I don't know if you have to go much further into detail than that. My favorite player to play. And I hope we still have a few more years of him, and I hope he gets healthy.
All right. And then Hunter Holt, I assume this is about Spencer Steer. Do the Reds let him, being Spencer Steer, surpass 130 at-bats this year?
I did the math. Okay. So four at bats a game would be 112 more. I think he's at 20 right now. So I think it's probably unlikely they'll give him a couple days off. And if you go over 130, you lose rookie of the year status for next year. If he finishes in the top three, Reds get an extra draft pick. There's compensation for that. So there is motivation to not let him go over 130. But it's a good question. Good question from Hunter.
Very good question.
But it seems
fun to track at the end of the year.
It seems like the September call-up might have, been planning that out. That's something to watch. Good question. And then this one is about India, but I'll let you read it, Tim.
Do you think the band of the shift could help him defensively, being India? Less moving around, deep throws from right field? I don't know, because I feel like the plays he's made, and this isn't to say he's made 1,000 outstanding plays by any means, but like we've talked about throughout the year, like the plays he makes, it's always been like his athleticism kind of taken over. So I don't necessarily know if it helps him, because he's a hell of an athlete, like we've talked about for a couple of years now, but I just don't know if he's ever going to be able to consistently play defense in second base no matter what. But that's a really, really cool question. I never even thought about that.
Yeah, I would almost think it would make it worse, because he's going to have potentially more ground to cover, right?
Defensively.
You what?
I said I just think he is who he is defensively, whether it's with the shift involved, whether he's at, he's playing second base.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't move around as much as like Spencer Steer, it was, when he's playing third base, like they'll move him like right behind second base. I don't see Jonathan India, other than, maybe going out into the outfield a little bit, but I don't see that being his issue really with plays. It seems like it's pretty traditional second baseman plays, right?
I'd like to see him play third a little bit, here in September, because I don't feel like he has the best of hands. He doesn't look like a normal big leaguer does for a middle infielder, like somebody who receives it nice and smooth and transitions well. It's like it's a constant battle every time, I feel like. So I'd like to see him over there at the hot corner and see how he can do.
He played at third a good bit at Florida, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think so.
I believe he was drafted as a third baseman.
Yeah.
Yeah, they moved him to second base specifically for last year to get
him in the
shortstop.
Woo, remember that?
The only thing I've ever been right about.
Well, that's interesting there, that comment from Chase saying that India was on the Jim Day podcast saying he regrets putting on all that extra weight.
Yeah, I think he was trying to be something he's not.
Yeah, I think we talked about that a little bit too. I think at the beginning of the year I wasn't a fan of it. I didn't see the point of it.
Really good interview. I was listening to it today. I mean, every Jim Day podcast is really good, but that was really good. Honestly, it's Indian Farmer, and I was like, they've had these dudes on so many times. I just clicked on it because I had a drive, thinking like, man, it was actually really good. I really did enjoy it.
Yeah, I haven't listened to it just yet. I'll probably listen to it tomorrow. Yeah. And then we have our good pal here with us every week, Mr. Juan. Always appreciate you hanging out. Can we give Joey Votto the captain title next year, the first since Barry Larkin?
I don't think he wants it.
Yeah, you would know better than anyone. So
it's just another like hassle at this point of his career. I mean, Joey's focused and straight on, worried about that. He doesn't want to have a patch and have to take extra questions about that. You know, it's just like, he is already. Everybody knows who he is. He's not the rah-rah type of guy. He'll go and have a conversation with you on the side if he feels like, but I don't think he wants that. And it would be kind of weird to give him like on his, possibly his last year, probably his last year there.
Yeah, that was exactly what I was going to say. Seems like if this was something that should have been done, it should have done like 2016, not, you know, now. Good question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feels very Landon Donovan.
Really good questions tonight.
Love it.
Yeah. All right. This is from another YouTube user. Weird that those aren't popping up. Should the Roses knock down the free pizza strikeout number down to 9 instead of 11 to get more fans in the seats? I don't think that's going to make a difference. but it's hilarious.
Didn't all three games we went to, they had 11 strikeouts? So yeah. I think they're doing it pretty regularly now. So
yeah. I mean, with how much people are striking out in baseball nowadays, I feel like maybe like the challenge should be like 14, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, maybe at least move it up to like 12 or something.
I feel like that's got to be Pizza Hut or something trying to bankrupt La Roses.
I always said that like 11 was obviously like, you know, you get the free small pizza. 22, you know, you get 22 of your 27 ounce to be strikeouts. We're talking free large pizza at that point. Like, just hear me out, La Roses. Probably not very possible. It doesn't make any sense business wise, but you know, I'll petition.
I respect it.
Yeah, it's what I do. Since I'm the only one that actually still lives close to the area, so you know, I'll take all the free pizza I can get.
Hey, it was great. It was great. I got it once. You know, with the free coupon, it was good. Solid.
Yeah, it is solid. All right, let's go real quick. So Nick has been doing it throughout the year, the Late Night Reds Talk Prospect Watch, brought to you by our good friends at Bet Online.
Yeah, so, of course, Ellie De La Cruz is always at the top, pretty much doesn't move, and there's no reason to. 28 home runs, 38 stolen bases, 153 weighted runs created plus, the number one prospect in the Red system, number 15 overall. Wanted to get Matt's thoughts on Ellie De La Cruz and the mania that he brings. What's your thoughts on Ellie?
Yeah, he's been fun to watch, whether it's bat flipping or just the power that he brings. He's been really fun to watch, and he's definitely one to keep an eye on in the future, and it's going to be exciting once he gets the call to come up.
Yeah, and Ellie was just named Southern Player of the Month, to no surprise at all. Then Noel V. Marte really has come on strong of late. 402 on base percentage through 29 games at Dayton, 9 stolen bases, so kind of has a little bit of both. It was just announced today that he is going to be playing in the Fall League, and he's played a full season this year. Carlos, I was kind of interested in your thoughts on him playing in the Fall League. Do you think that is valuable? Do you think that's a waste of time? What's your thoughts on that?
If I had to choose between valuable and waste of time, I'd probably edge a little bit more towards a waste of time than valuable. It's kind of almost just letting you know that, hey, you're one of the ones that's on our path, you know, on a path to the big leagues. Like, we have this laid out for you. We want you to, it's kind of like the first step of introducing them to the big league, because they take really good care of them there. They're catered to. It's, I don't know. And then some of the players too are they want to see if they're a fluke or not. They want to see what they really have against a little bit better competition. Maybe at what level they might need to place them at the next year. But overall, I don't see much to it. Like, going to play in the Dominican or Venezuelan league, that means a little bit more than what this does.
Yeah, and Kirk asked who else is playing. I don't think they've announced everyone else. I don't think they've announced the full rosters. I think it was just reported by a reporter that Marte was going to participate. So, yeah, looking forward to that. It'd be exciting to get to see him in some games. They usually have a couple games on MLB Network, so definitely want to watch him get some good competition. So selfishly, that'll be fun. Then Jay Allen kind of had a disappointing season overall, but still got the promotion to Dayton. And as a new MILB TV subscriber, Allen is an electric factory. He is just so fun to watch. 10 stolen bases last 8 games. He has two triples. Tim, I know you're a big Jay Allen guy. What's your thoughts on Jay?
I love it. I love anyone that anytime they put a ball in play gives you an opportunity at extra bases. Whether it's a single that he steals a base or two, whether it's, you know, gets a ball in the gap and gets the double or triple. I'm excited. I think that this is a guy who we just kind of had a conversation about potential outfield prospects. Jay Allen to me kind of feels like it's the best situation in those guys that, you know, you're not moving positions. Like, you know, we've talked about McClain or Ellie or Noel Marte, all these guys potentially playing in the outfield different places. Jay Allen's already there. We've seen that he's made some really good progress as far as like going up the levels. Had a really good rookie season last year. I mean, started the year as a top 10 Reds prospect for all these trades. So I'm excited, man. I hope this keeps up. I know we tried to get him on the show. We're still working on it. So, Jay, if you're listening, come hang out with us.
Absolutely. And Carrick. Oh, wrong one. Sorry. Carrick, who is your favorite prospect that most people haven't heard of? Well, that's funny that you ask. I'm going to go with Mr. Jose Acuña, the player. He's actually unranked. I don't really know how he's unranked. He has been dominating in the Southern League, the Florida League, Florida State League. He was just named Pitcher of the Week. Sorry. no home runs allowed this year in 36 innings. Really looks like a quality arm that they got for Tyler Naquin. So that would be my answer to that.
I like it.
All right. Let's move on to the late night Reds talk injury updates. Hunter Green is going to make one more rehab start on Sunday and then is expected to join.
But why? Why would he have a rehab start? It's September.
I don't know. 10 strikeouts in 4 innings. It just seems like he's not being challenged, right? Carlos, do you have any thoughts on why the Reds would have Hunter Green make some rehab starts?
On multiple levels. So, first of all, everything is about money, right? So these guys get graded on a daily basis whenever they're performing in the big leagues. So if you're injured for a period of time, you want to make sure your stuff is right before it really counts. And if that means going and working something out for a week and a half in AAA, you're going to do that before you go out and you put your final product on the line for you to be judged on 2.5 years from now, whenever we're going to see how much you're actually worth for that fourth year. You don't want to figure these things out in the big leagues. If they were in a playoff race, and he had more time in the league, I don't think even just being a rookie, they would let him come back with missing this much time going straight, to the big league level to prove himself. It's, you have to do it. That's not the level that you mess around with. Not even if you're in 28th place or whatever the Reds are in right now, it's there for a reason. It's there to protect the players at all costs and the team. It's the right thing to do. It's not even a question. So quit tweeting about it, please.
Yeah, and I don't really know why this year we're concerned about that, but hey, it is what it is, you know. Okay. Graham Ashcraft planning to make a rehab start soon. Reds are hoping he can get 2 more starts in 2022. Matt, wanted to bring you into the conversation here. What's your overall thoughts on Green and Ashcraft? You know, their rookie seasons this year. You know, your expectations maybe for them the rest of this year and then the rest of their careers going forward.
Yeah, I think they've been really fun to watch this year. They're obviously young. Both of them have some work to do, but what they've shown is they can be elite pitchers in the league. Hunter Green, I think, needs to work on some of those movement with his fastball and start pitching to some contact, just some soft contact, like kind of like Ashcraft does. So I think they both have some room for improvement, but I'm excited to watch them grow and watching those two and Lodolo. I mean, it's going to be fun for the future.
Yeah, then a couple other updates. Matt Reynolds could rejoin the Reds by the end of this week. Had two hits tonight for the Louisville Bats. And then Daniel Duarte, kind of forgot about him. He actually made the team, the opening day roster.
Oh, my God, he did.
And then got hurt like 2 days into the season or something. Been out since April 17th. He is hoping to pitch again this year. So he was a guy that made the opening day roster, so he's at least interesting.
That's how you make big league money for an entire year, folks. Take effing notes. That's how you do it.
Daniel Duarte is a legend.
Hats off to you, buddy.
Is a legend for Carlos.
God damn it, I'm so jealous of him.
He's going to come back and get hurt again. And then
my elbow's just off. He's like Ben Simmonsing it at one point, you know?
He's just out there throwing shot puts. Tearing his elbow up.
And then, unfortunately, the devastating news, Jeff Hoffman is out for the remainder of the season. In all seriousness, Jeff Hoffman had a really, really nice season for a really, really bad bullpen. So credit to Jeff. You know, he's a guy that has kind of remade himself a little bit. You know, didn't really work out as a starter. Never thought he was as bad as I think a lot of people made him out to be as a starter. But he was really nice in the bullpen this year. So hopefully he can have a solid offseason and be a big contributor next season. That's all I got, Tim.
Nice.
What part of Hunter Green and Ashcraft, or what percentage do you give conspiracy theory wise that they weren't really hurt?
95%.
Yeah, I mean,
because a lot gets involved here. This isn't just like, hey, Reds manager, go talk to Reds pitcher. This is what we're going to do. No, this is like, you have to tell the agent, you have to tell the GM, you have to tell the owner. That's been around for a while, but nobody ever really talks about it.
I mean, Strasburg's like the perfect example, right?
I'm going to hedge a little bit and say maybe there was like something barking that they probably could have powered through, and they said, hey, you're going to be on an innings limit anyways. Instead of getting shut down, let's you know, so you can finish the year. So Carlos, I'm curious your thoughts on this. If you were in the situation of a starting pitcher, would you rather be shut down or take a break and actually get the pitch the last week of the season? Would that mean anything to you?
I guess if I had the choice, I would go the route of taking a break in the middle and then finishing up. Just so you're at least out there with your teammates at the end, you know, not just throwing it in, because it'd be really tough to be focused and staying in shape and paying attention to the games if you know your season's already done. You probably won't learn too much, you know. You won't be invested because you're not going to have to face these hitters for another 6 months.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's a good point. I know that Nick Kroll and Sam Grosbe, assistant GM, they've talked about building good habits and they really believe in that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think that's a good point.
Can I actually pick on Carlos for another question one more time before we move on? Because when you mentioned about the Fall League earlier, it had me thinking. So for us who haven't been through this experience, can you kind of explain the benefit? You mentioned kind of the benefit of Fall League where they take care of you and stuff like that. The difference between Fall League and Instructs, and which one's more beneficial than the other?
Instructs sucks. There's absolutely nobody there. It's you're with a bunch of young kids, and you're there to work like on one specific thing. Like if you're a pitcher who only has a fastball and a slurve, they want you to work on your changeup. You're there just to go throw changeups in live games. So it's just working on specific things. So Instructs, everybody was always hoping they weren't invited to Instructs because there's nothing to gain from it at all.
Okay. I was just curious because I know, like, talking to people, I've heard about Instructs, but I didn't necessarily know what they were.
I don't want to say there's nothing to gain from it. That's totally the wrong thing to say. There's nothing to gain from it, really, you know, like moving up or down in the system wise. Like, there's no eyes on you other than the pitching probably instructor who's there, or the hitting instructor that's there. Like, it's just, they want to instill in you one certain thing that they want you to come back with.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes more sense. All right, because I was just kind of curious. I was like, why would you do one over the other? But that makes a lot more sense. So, cool. So Dylan Rushman said, only thing about Green is why wouldn't we option and then have him for 7 years and not six, and they have a genuine reason.
I mean, they get crushed for it.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be pretty hard to option him. Yeah, I mean, I know he's like overall ERAs in the five.
Yeah, you can't option him.
But he's had some great moments this year. They would rightfully get crushed for.
There would be a grievance filed.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, look, the Pirates did it with I'm blanking on
that example
name.
Already.
Around,
next topic
around the All-Star break, but yeah, they also don't have a very good reputation around the league. So yeah,
they don't. What gives that away?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Alrighty. So I guess that we're through all this, let's talk a little bit about some playoff races, guys. 538, who is the most on point system of all time for evaluating things. They never get anything wrong. Currently has the playoffs looking as we show here. Matt, we'll kind of bring you here real quick, kind of get your thoughts. Is there a certain division race you're kind of keeping a close eye on? Because it seems like, you know, with the extended wild card and things like that, it's certainly getting interesting. But how about that AL Central? Am I right? What a competitive division.
Right. That's what I've really just wanted to keep an eye on. Same thing with the NL Central, and then also watching the Braves and the Mets. I like watching that. That one's coming down to the wire too. But I just, when the Reds aren't playing, I just enjoy watching any type of playoff baseball. So I'm excited for it to get to there, and excited for these last few weeks and how everything shakes out.
Carlos, I know first from hanging out with you that one weekend, have you had a lot of joy watching the Yankees fall apart the way they have?
Absolutely. It's what every American dreams of. If you're not a Yankees fan. No, but yeah, I'm excited for playoff baseball. Always am. Hopefully the Padres can get their stuff going today. Soto got hit between the shoulder blades tonight, so that's not good. Cardinals just scored 5 runs in the bottom of the ninth to win the stupid game. Braves, Mets, that's going to be a lot of fun. Phillies, that was my early on wild card team to win. I think they're like plus 2,000 or something like that.
Yeah, all
you got to do is get hot, baby.
Yeah, and then Milwaukee's 3.5 out of the last wild card spot behind San Diego. Maybe that's why they traded Josh Hader there, just to kind of mess it up to get him back in. I don't know. Ugh,
don't do that, Tim.
yeah,
Mariners and Phillies. It's been a long time. Hopefully they both get in.
I was trying to think, have the Mariners made it since the 2001 team that won like 120 games?
No.
Where they won 115? Okay, I didn't think there was. But yeah, the American League's been a lot of fun. I mean, Baltimore has been far better than I think a lot of us expect with all their young guys coming up. They're kind of in the race. They're about a game and a half behind. I'm sorry, they are 4.5 out of the third spot against from Toronto. So they're probably not going to make it, but they're making it fun. Yeah, I'm excited for this. I think it's going to be really fun. Obviously, keeping an eye on our Ohio mates and the Guardians, who have lost 3 of their last. I mean, they've lost 7 of the last 10, and kind of keeping things division close there with some old friends there in Minnesota. But other than that, it's kind of, you know, watching the Yankees lose, like Carlos said, it's a joy. But now they've won 4 in a row, so maybe I spoke a little too soon.
How's Drury doing over there, Carlos?
Not great, Bob.
He's on the IL, no, isn't he?
He's hit a couple of homers, and yeah, he got hit in the head the other day, so he went to the IL. But,
Yeah.
They really got to pull it together.
I saw Tyler Mallet has not been having a lot of fun either. Yeah, good timing. Red Scout 21 Cincy. Poor Mallet. So, I thought he'd be awesome there in a big ballpark.
Buy low, sell high.
Yep. That's right. Spencer Shear's looking good for us, so thumbs up. Yeah. All right, let's try to take a look real quick at the upcoming schedule. Luis Sessa making a start tomorrow against Adrian Sampson. Then the Reds continue the road trip for three against the Brewers, where you'll see Nick Lodolo, Chase Anderson, and Justin Dunn. Then the Reds come home for four, including yet another doubleheader against the Pirates. Mike Minor, Luis Sessa, potentially Brandon Williamson, and Nick Lodolo pitching in that series for the Reds go to St. Louis for Chase Henderson and what may be Hunter Green against Jack Flaherty on Friday the 16th, potentially. So,
where'd the strength of schedule stack up from September this year, Nick?
I haven't checked it as often this year, but I mean, I see a lot of Pirates and Cubs, so I'm assuming it's pretty good.
True.
You know, although, you know, Birds are going to play themselves like the seventh best draft odds.
Yeah, I saw Tankathon had them like pretty like under had them pretty high on their projections today. I was like, son of a gun.
You get to see the return of Tommy Pham. That'll be fun to watch.
That will be fun.
Don't you put that evil on me.
the random two games against the Red Sox with every single other game being a division foe.
Yeah.
Is he going to get booed?
No.
He's going to get a tribute video. What are you talking about?
I really don't think most Reds fans dislike Tommy Pham. I think it's just you and a couple folks.
Most importantly,
Tim, can I pay you to go and boo?
I'm actually really curious. I'm going to get fantasy football advice from him because I'm sure at that point my season will be in the crapper anyway. So kind of see who he took in the first couple rounds, what moves he made on the waiver wire.
He didn't want his advice. He wanted to take Jeff Wilson or whatever his name was.
Maybe stash somebody on the IR. I don't know. Just kind of get his thoughts on it.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think other than that, do we have any additional questions or we just want to kind of get out of here? Thumbs up to the card. Awesome. Well, please, if you are hanging out on the YouTubes, please take a second to subscribe to the channel. It goes such a long way for us in the YouTube algorithm. So we'll kind of get that out of there. Also, please take a moment to give us a follow and subscribe and a nice solid review on your podcast subscriber of choice. And also go to latenightreds.merchmake.com. Support the brand. Get some t-shirts. We definitely appreciate it. Matt, thanks for hanging out tonight, man. It was a lot of fun talking with you.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. That's what I'm up way past my bedtime, but I really appreciate you guys too. Having me on board.
Yeah, for sure. I know you got to get ready for these Bengals games now too. So,
yeah,
at least something hopefully fun to talk about.
Yeah, hopefully they have a more exciting season, and yeah, we'll see if they cover that 6.5 spread.
Yeah, I feel good about it. So please, as always, please thank you for tuning in. But don't forget, we are brought to you by BetOnline. Go there to use promo code BELIEVE50 to get your 50% welcome bonus before football season starts this weekend. Have a good night, and we'll see you all next week. We'll be right back.
room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.